This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Hey friends, it's Friday. It's the end of the week. It seems like this week has just gone like that. And I have enjoyed these programs so much. And I'm talking about the new series I'm teaching, which is called What Jesus Said About Getting a Grip on Your Mouth. Have you enjoyed this series? Have you said amen, or have you said, oh my? You know, we've all had the experience of saying things we shouldn't say, and that's why we need to know how to get a grip on our mouth. And we've been looking this week at what Jesus had to say about getting a grip on your mouth. This is a five-part series, comes in all kinds of formats with a tremendous study guide. And I've also been telling you every day this week about the book by Joyce Meyer that is called Power Words. My friends, did you know your words have the power to sculpt your life? And in this book called Power Words, Joyce really recommends what you ought to be saying to sculpt your world for a better life and what you should not be saying. My friends, that is the power of your words. What you say can change your life. And that's why I'm telling you about Joyce's wonderful book. By the way, I love Joyce Meyer. She's our dear friend. But if you want to know more about these products, just go online or you can give us a call right now. And when you call the number on the screen, let us know how to pray for you. Or if you wish, you can just send us an email. Either way, we're going to pray for you. And friends, I mean, we're going to ferociously pray for you. I promise you that when we say we pray, we really pray, and we would just be honored to pray with you about anything you're dealing with in your life right now. So call the number on the screen or send us an email and reach for your Bible. We always use the Bible in this program, and we're really believing for the verse-by-verse teaching of the Bible to be fully restored to the pulpit all across America, because people need the verse-by-verse teaching of the Bible. And when you're a partner with our ministry, you're helping us take the line-by-line teaching of the Scripture to people all over the world. And I want to say thank you, partner. And if you're not a partner yet, please, please pray about becoming a partner. You can become a partner by going online or by giving us a call. But let's go back to our verses that we've been reviewing every day this week. By the way, today is called The Power of Controlling Your Mouth. Now, I'm going to review these same verses that we have covered every day. And you might say, why are you repeating these verses every day? Because you need to hear them hundreds of times. You need to really get these verses down deep inside you. These verses will affect your life. In Proverbs 6, verse 2, it says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. And many times we're snared because of something we said that we should not have said. Or Proverbs 18:7 says, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. People get themselves in trouble because of what they say. Or how about Proverbs 21, verse 23? Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. You know, if you just zip your lips and be quiet, you will avoid a mess. Or how about James 1:19? And again, we've covered this every day this week. We're going to quickly cover it again right now. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And again, we've seen there's only one thing this verse tells us to do quickly. We're to be swift to hear. And that word swift, the Greek word takous, means to move your feet as fast as you can. It pictures a runner who's running toward the finish line. And because he wants to finish first, he removes all distractions. He really focuses on what is in front of him. And therefore, contained in this word swiftly, it really means for you to properly hear and to really understand what's being said to you. You got to remove distractions. You got to really focus when somebody is speaking to you. And the word "hear" in this verse is a form of the Greek word "akouo." It's where we get the word acoustics. But it's not just "I hear." It describes one who really comprehends what is being said. And I want to tell you again today, if you do not understand what's being said, you don't pretend like you understand. That's not going to help you, and that's not going to help the other person. You need to simply say, "I'm not getting it. Can you please restate that?" Or, "I think I know what you mean, but can you just say it one more time so I'm really sure I understand?" The person that is speaking to you will appreciate the fact that you wanted to understand. And then James says you're to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And the word "slow" in both cases is the Greek word "bradus." And that word "bradus" describes one that is slow, one that is dull, one that is sluggish or mentally handicapped or somehow physically handicapped, handicapped in such a way that they can't just seem to get the words out. And the word "speak," the Greek word "lelesai," from the word "leleo," it means to chatter, to converse, or to talk. And here James is really saying, before you spout off, first of all, make sure you really hear what is being said to you. And rather than quickly, recklessly, and hastily respond before you've thought about what you're going to say, be slow to speak. Be slow to respond. Be slow to respond. And it's okay to say, "Would you please give me a few minutes to think about how I need to respond to that?" That's good. That's wisdom. And then James says, be slow to wrath. The word "slow," again, the Greek word "bradus." You need to be sluggish. You need to be dull. You need to be handicapped when it comes to giving way to wrath. The word "wrath," the Greek word "orge," it describes something all twisted and all bent out of shape. And friends, if you find yourself getting all twisted and bent out of shape in a conversation, for sure, that is not the moment for you to respond, because you're probably going to say something you later will regret. And the RIV of James 1:19 is like this: "But understand, my dearly beloved brothers, that every one of you needs to swiftly run to hear, attend to, and comprehend what is being communicated." You need to zip your lips, put a lid on your mouth, and learn how to slow down in expressing your opinions. You also need to intentionally put on the brakes to stop blowing your cool so easily. This verse is just profoundly helpful. My friends, zip your lips, put a lid on your mouth, slow down in expressing your opinions, and intentionally put on the brakes to stop blowing your cool so easily. That's the RIV of James 1:19. But now we're going to go to James chapter 3, verse 5, where James elaborates. And he says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." But when you come to verse 5 and it says, "Behold, the tongue," in Greek there's a definite article, which means it's almost like James is lifting his voice. He says, "Behold, the tongue, the tongue." And he's going to talk about how the tongue gets people into trouble. He says it's a little member. The word "little" is derived from a form of the Greek word "mikros." It's where you get the word for microscopic or anything that is micro. It's very, very small. And notice he says it's a small member. The word "member" is the Greek word "melos." It describes a physical organ. Here it is, the tongue. But this word "melos" is the same word used to describe, are you ready for this, a part of a ship that caused the ship to move forward. And it's true that words cause things to move. Words cause action. They move things. But this word "melos" is also the word to describe weapons of war. And words, likewise, the tongue, can really ignite a battle. So if you use your tongue correctly, you can positively move things along. But if you use your tongue incorrectly, your tongue can ignite a battle or a war. That is the power of the tongue, as James says. And he says it's amazing because it is such mikros. It is such a little tiny member of the body, but yet it has the power to move things along in a good way, or to start a fight, or to start a battle. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, "And it boasteth great things." The Greek would be better translated, "It is able to make a big commotion or a big noise." Well, we know that. And verse 5 then goes on to say, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the word behold is James injecting his own thought into the verse. It's the Greek word eidou. It really means, wow, it is amazing. So even as James is writing, he's really stepping back and looking at what he's writing. He says, wow, it's really true. It is really the truth. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire. The two words, the tongue, again, has a definite article. It's like he's raising his voice. He says, here we are again, the tongue is a fire. And then he says, it is a world of iniquity. What in the world does that mean? Well, when you read this in the Greek, it's very interesting. It really describes a universe of its own that is filled with hurt, injustice, wickedness, and violations. And isn't that the truth? The tongue is a world of its own. It's filled with hurt, injustice, wickedness, and violations. And if you don't control the tongue, he next says, it defileth. And the word defileth in Greek is the word spilos. It's where we get the word to spill. It describes a stain. It means to defile or to contaminate or to spill something that creates a stain. You can really hurt people with your words. You can stain them. You can negatively affect them by speaking wrong words. And there's something else about a stain. You know, if you drop a glass of grape juice on white carpet, it doesn't matter how hard you try to get the stain out, you're never going to get that grape juice completely out of that white carpet. And every time you walk by that stain on that white carpet, that stain is going to be a reminder of a regretful event. And likewise, when you speak words that are hurtful and defile other people, it leaves a stain. It's hard for them to get over it. It's hard for them to forget those words. My friends, be very careful with the tongue. The tongue. You can use your tongue to do good and to move things along in a right way, or you can use your tongue to start a fight or a battle. And remember that if you use your tongue wrongly, you're going to negatively affect other people. That's what it means. It defiles. And my friends, not only that, James then goes on in verse 6 and says, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. When it says setteth on fire, the Greek actually says it ignites raging passions. Isn't that the truth? With one word, you can ignite something that you later regret. And he goes on to say, and is set on fire of hell. The Greek actually means, and being ignited and inflamed by hell itself. And the truth is, hell is always looking for a way to enter into relationships. And very often hell, the devil, finds entrance into relationships. He finds entrance into society. How? Through words. Words are powerful. Words start wars. Words can heal, or words can kill. Words are that powerful. And the devil is always looking for a way to be injected into a conversation. Hell itself wants to get into every conversation, comes through the mouth. And then in verse 7, James says, for every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. And if you look at these categories, it's true all of these things have been tamed. Beasts have been tamed. Birds can be taught to speak or to perform tricks. It's amazing what you can do with birds. Serpents, you can even tame serpents, according to this verse. Things in the sea. I remember when our son Philip was a young boy, I took him to a big aqua world, and we watched whales jumping through hoops of fire. That was amazing. Even whales can be tamed. And the word tamed is the Greek word domazo. You know what that word domazo means? It means to domesticate, to subdue, to bring under control. It is the very word used to describe animal trainers who were experts at capturing and domesticating the wildest and most ferocious of beasts, such as lions, tigers, and bears. It means to domesticate. And according to James chapter 3, verse 7, every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea can be domesticated, can be subdued, and have been subdued and domesticated by mankind. Well, we all know that. All you have to do is go to the circus, and you can see animals doing amazing things, including lions, tigers, and bears. But then James says in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. And the word but in Greek is the little word de. It means but, however, categorically, emphatically, the tongue. And once again, the tongue has a definite article. It's like he's raising his voice. He's saying, the tongue can no man tame. No man in Greek is the word oudeis. It means absolutely no one. And the word tame is again the Greek word domazo, which means to domesticate, to subdue, or to bring under control. And then he adds in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And when he says unruly, it describes something that is unruly, uncontrollable, or unpredictable. Have you ever said something and you were shocked that you said it? That's what this word means. It's unruly. And the word evil, the Greek word kakos, it depicts words that are bad or inappropriate. Have you ever shocked yourself by bad or inappropriate words coming out of your mouth? And then he goes on to say that the tongue is full of deadly poison. The word full, the Greek word mestos, it means fully loaded. And deadly poison is from two very interesting Greek words. First of all, the Greek word isos, which depicts the poison of an asp. Secondly, it is a Greek word which means it is death-producing. But this phrase was used by Greek writers to depict arrows or words that carry death. Well, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There are words which carry life, and there are words that carry death. And there's something else. When it says it's unruly, full of deadly poison, it also describes the poison of an asp. You know, a poisonous snake is a nervous snake. It's unpredictable. You never know when it's going to strike. And its poison banks are in the head. And those poison banks are loaded, just like this verse says, loaded with deadly poison. And when a viper strikes and bites, he pushes down with his mouth. And when he does, the fangs go into the victim. And pushing down on the victim, he unloads all those poison banks in his head through those fangs into the victim. And the victim then is poisoned with death. How many times have you found yourself saying something, and you didn't just say it, but you said it, and you said it, and you said it, and you said it, pressing down into the person that you're talking to, unloading and injecting into them everything you feel. And when you were finished, you left them really in a very bad condition. My friends, that's what the tongue does when it's not controlled. And then we read in verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father. The word bless, the Greek word eulogia, from the word eu, which means good or swell, and the word logos, words. It means therewith bless we God. We speak good words to the Lord. We're blessing God the Father. And then James adds, and therewith curse we men. The word curse, the Greek word which means to verbally doom other people with our words. Men, which are made after the similitude of God. And then James says in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. The word mouth, the Greek word stoma. The word stoma describes the physical mouth, but it was also used to describe the point of a sword. The point of a sword. Is your mouth a sword that is hurting other people? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Then he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And then in verse 11, rhetorically asks the question, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And the word sweet water and bitter literally describe water that is sweet to taste or bitter, the Greek word pikros. It describes that which is filled with acid, bitter, distasteful, sharp, toxic. What's coming out of your mouth? Is it sweet? Is it enjoyable? Or is it toxic? Is it acidic? That's really what James is asking here. And notice that he calls the mouth a fountain, a place from which water gushes forth. And my friends, Jesus said, whatever is in you, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Jesus really said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in addition to getting a grip on your mouth, you need to get a grip with what's going on inside your heart. And my friends, the truth is no one can control the tongue. James says it is unpredictable, uncontrollable, unstable. It is full of deadly poison. And that is why as we come to the end of this teaching series, I'm going to tell you, for you to get a grip on your mouth, you've got to surrender your tongue to the Holy Spirit. I've personally learned that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you pray in tongues and you regularly let the Holy Spirit work with your tongue, it helps your tongue to be domesticated. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can really domesticate and subdue your tongue, but He can. And it's such a blessing when your tongue becomes an implement that positively moves things along. Your tongue becomes an organ that helps to build and helps to edify rather than a point of a sword that hurts other people. And that's why you need to surrender your tongue to the Holy Spirit. I'll be back in just a moment, and I want to pray for you. Someone asked a very interesting question. They said, Rick, what is the greatest enemy you've ever faced? Well, I've faced a lot of enemies in my life. I write about a lot of it in my book called Unlikely. You should get that book. But I have learned the greatest enemy I have ever faced, it's not the devil, it's not anyone else, it's me. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, that he who rules his own spirit is mightier than one who takes a city. And I've learned that if I can master me, there's nothing that I cannot do. The devil is no problem. There's no mountain that I cannot climb if I'll just master me. And therefore, I've learned to really focus on me and learning to rule my spirit so that I can take a city and do whatever it is that God has called me to do. But ruling my own spirit and mastering me is only possible if I crucify the flesh and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Have you ever said something that you later regretted? We all need to learn how to control the things that come out of our mouths. And Jesus has a lot to say on the subject. In Rick Renner's series, What Jesus Said About Getting a Grip on Your Mouth, you will learn how to be slow and thoughtful with your words, really thinking before you speak. You will develop a greater understanding of biblical practices, such as not having blessings and curses come from the same mouth, submitting to the Holy Spirit when your tongue is untamable, and much more. This practical series is available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11. In addition, we are offering you Joyce Meyer's book, Power Words: What You Say Can Change Your Life. This powerful book draws from personal experience and scripture to illustrate how prayer and positive words can be used to overcome every challenge that stands in the way of your fulfillment. Power Words can be yours for just $12. Don't miss this special offer, the series What Jesus Said About Getting a Grip on Your Mouth, and the book Power Words by Joyce Meyer. Visit Renner.org to order. Call the number on your screen or scan the QR code now. Call or go online now.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and today I want to say thank you to you, partner, for everything you do to help us fulfill heaven's mandate on our ministry. In Proverbs 10:21, it says, the lips of the righteous feed many, and that is our assignment. In the past year, we have traveled all over Russia, and when we travel to minister, we don't charge for plane tickets or for churches to pay for the cost of our team. You pay that price. You do that with your gifts. You enable us to go to people who could never pay for all of us to come. But we've gone as a team, and lives have been transformed. We've had meetings where we have met thousands and thousands of people who listen to us on TV and then come together to hear us in person as we impart the life-transforming truth of the Bible to them. And you're a part of that because you are a partner. You're putting the fuel in the tank that enables us to go. And for this, I say thank you. And all those people say thank you. And if you're not a partner yet, we need you. And today I'm inviting you to become a part of our partner family. We're waiting for you to help us take the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. Well, we just concluded our five-part series called What Jesus Said About Getting a Grip on Your Mouth. Has this been a blessing to you? Please call or write me. I want to know your response to this series. But I ended this series today by saying you need to submit your tongue to the Holy Spirit. No man can tame the tongue. As hard as you try, there are going to be moments when your tongue says something it shouldn't say. You're going to make a statement that you later regret. But the Holy Spirit has the power to tame the tongue, and He really is the only one that has the power to tame the tongue. So you need to say, in fact, just say it with me right now, Holy Spirit, I give you authority over my mouth. I ask you to tame my tongue. I ask you to control what I say. I will cooperate with you, but I need you to release your power to tame my tongue in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He really can tame your tongue. Surrender it to Him. But hey, this series is called What Jesus Said About Getting a Grip on Your Mouth. It's a five-part series, comes with a study guide. And again, I'm telling you today for the last time about Joyce Meyer's book called Power Words, how your words are so powerful they can really sculpt your world. And Joyce tells us what we should say and what we should not be saying, and that's why I'm telling you about her wonderful book. And if you'd like to have any of these resources, all you have to do is go online, just go to our email address, or you can give us a call. We're waiting to take your call right now. And when you reach out to us, let us know how to pray for you because we really do want to pray for you. But I want to say thank you for being with me every day this week. It's been good. Let's get a grip on our mouth and let the Holy Spirit tame our tongue. And remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit Renner.org. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.